No, I don't think so.
It's not in here.
November 5th meeting of the Transportation Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council. And the first item on the published agenda is approval of the minutes of the October 1st meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion as stated signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number two is public comments. Anyone from the public wishing to address council, step up to the lectern and give your name and address, and you have 2 minutes. Yes, sir.
Thanks. I'll see if I can do it in one. I'm John Watkins, 4150 Colonel Vanderhorst Circle. Live in Dunes West. I am the general manager now and spent 3 years prior to this on the board. Fairly convinced. I'm concerned that the approach used by the town of Mount Pleasant that is summarized in the May 5th meeting fails to take into account certain things. It talks about parcels, acres, and sites. You need to talk about homeowners, buildings, and things that actually matter, because you give a very jaded perception of alternative 1, 2, and 7 when you don't consider the fact that more than 180 homes are going to come down as a result of alternative 7. And alternative 7 will cost more than 4 times any other alternative. And I speak as a general manager of Dunes West with considerable background. What I'd like you to do is to take that into account. The second problem that is a major problem is I don't think you've looked carefully at what's actually happening on Dunes West Boulevard traffic right now. It is already a colossal mess, and alternative 7 makes that situation worse because of single entry neighborhoods that are too close together to use stoplights. Third and last, and I'm done, you need to go back and look at Bessemer Road, which is on alternative 7, because it's changed considerably in the last year, and what you're now going to have to take out will probably cost you way more than you can afford to do. I brought some notes in summary. I'll pass them out to however it gets passed out. I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Anyone else for public comments? Which moves us to item number 3, which is an update from Charleston County on the widening of Highway 41.
Mayor, we have Mr. Cal Oyer, who is the project manager for the 41 project being managed by Charleston County, and he's going to give a brief presentation and then probably take some questions.
Hey, Cal. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to give you an update on the Highway 41, where we're at. Back in May of 2018, we did present 3 alternatives to the public. We received a lot of public feedback. Alternative 1 was widening Highway 41 from Clements Ferry Road to Highway 17 to 5 lanes. Alternative 2 was the same as Alternative 1, except the section from Dunes West Boulevard to Bessemer Road would be a 3-lane instead of 5 lanes all the way through. And Alternative 7 was what we call, you might want to call it a bypass around the Phillips community. It went from Clements Ferry down to Dunes West Boulevard, then got on Dunes West and followed around onto Bessemer and then back out onto 41. And that was all 5 lanes. Alternative 7 also had the Phillips community portion of Highway 41 expanding to 3 lanes. So we received a lot of feedback, as everybody is aware, at our public meetings, and we took some of those into account and took them for action to study some things a little bit harder. So this slide shows the May 2018 reasonable alternatives. Then what we've been doing, one of the things that we've been doing since then is refining several alternatives. Alternative 5 was a parallel roadway that ran up, there's a transmission, SCENG transmission easement that runs from 17 up to almost the Wando Bridge. So we had modeled that as a two-lane section and found that it didn't relieve any traffic. So we got a lot of comments to look at that harder, and we have been looking at it. We looked at two variants of it. They're both five-lane sections that would run the full length of the transmission easement. And one of the variants also adds a five-lane section on Highway 41 from 17 up to Joe Rouse Road. Both of those alternatives, we've done the preliminary traffic studies for it, which is basically a capacity analysis. It doesn't get into details of exactly how the road could work or be worked, but we still have a little bit more study to do on that before we could say it's definitely going to help the traffic or not. So we're still working on that one. Then alternative 7, we looked at a slightly different route that would go off of Bessemer, and it would actually, I think if you go to the next slide, alternative 1 and 2 I had just talked about. We did look at them a little bit closer, and here's alternatives, what we're calling 7A. Now the map that you'll see on the right is the same map that we had shown for alternative 7. What 7A does is, instead of going all the way down Bessemer back to 41, it would shift over a little bit from what you see on this map. It would shift to the southeast, to the right, to where it would all be on, to where it would travel on Laurel Hill Park. So that's a major difference, and we're continuing to study that one. But our traffic studies have shown that that one is actually would be a better alternative than the original 7. So
can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
All right. So if I'm coming up 41 from 17, I'm in the blue, right? And then there's that straight line where the white is the turn to Joe Rouse right now, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that would be, if I'm correct, that you're going to be cutting across the marsh?
There is some marsh there that we would have to cut over.
Okay.
To get onto the higher land at Laurel Hill.
Okay. And so you got five lanes from 17. You make that, you go to the right, and you've got five lanes through Park West and five lanes coming out
on Dunes West Boulevard.
Okay. But it's not Dunes West Boulevard as we know it, right? It's
this again.
I see what looks like Dunes West Boulevard, and then I see a blue line. That's what I'm.
Yeah. This is not a. We haven't gotten enough time to lay down the exact footprint of the roadways. What that line that you see is a 100-foot swath of where it might go. It would actually be laid out to be most advantageous about avoiding impacts. So that was just that. As all of these graphics that we've shown are just depictions of how we think it would lay out. For the next 6 months, we're going to be doing the hard work of really laying out the roadway, and then we evaluate further and refine our initial assessments of the impacts. We put that into our environmental assessment, and move forward with a recommended alternative through that process.
Just a clarification on that then. So along Bessemer Road, you're talking about a separate roadway, but up at Dunes West Boulevard, it's potentially on the same
swath? It's potentially on the same swath,
but the Bessemer piece would be separate from where Bessemer Road is now.
That is correct.
That's correct. Okay.
Okay, we've also been doing some other things. The Mount Pleasant long long-range transportation plan is about connectivity, and so we are looking at connecting 41 as part of our project, connecting 41 to Billy Swells Boulevard. So we have been doing some study there. It's about an extra half mile of roadway that we would have to build. And we've also, one of the big comments that we got during our public sessions was, what can you do in the meantime? So we are working to identify some interim improvements. They would be from Joe Rouse Road down to Highway 17. We've looked at two different ones. They're all just adding another lane, basically, from Joe Rouse down southward. One of them doesn't quite go to 17, the other one does. One stops at Hurlbeck Creek, and therefore we avoid the time that you would have to get a permit for. So the shorter one we could deliver faster, the longer one would improve traffic a little better. So we're still looking at that, and we'll have a recommendation in the coming months on that.
May I ask if, okay, when you say interim improvements, you're talking about actually constructing some of the Highway 41 widened road from Joe Rouse to 17?
Yeah, it would be work that if we put it in place, even if for the final answer on 41, even if 41 was shifted a little bit, we still would foresee being able to use that roadway that we've already built in some manner. So it wouldn't all be a total waste.
Would that require, and I think I've seen the maps, but I can't recall, would that require additional right-of-way acquisition, or does that right-of-way already exist?
There would, we haven't drilled down quite that close yet, but it's we're trying to keep it just all within the right-of-way right now. Looks like most of it would be, but I can't promise that we wouldn't have to touch something.
And I guess my other question, I was having this conversation out there. I mean, there's a possibility that especially involving the Phillips community, it could be quite a protracted answer of what is going to happen there. Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
I mean, we got the NEPA process. We got national implications to that. We've got local considerations to that. So, and Councilman Bremer, you and I had this conversation before. Rather than waiting on every answer to everything right down to the parcel data, is that, and you said you haven't drilled down that far, but that could be part of the answer. Is that correct? This one about going ahead from Joe Rouse to 17.
It would only handle traffic in the short term. It would not be the answer for.
But it could be done sooner rather than later, whereas everything else might be a lot later. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, we could hopefully do these in a matter of 2 years, as opposed to right now our schedule is showing that we don't start construction until 2022.
Right.
Two years from now, sir? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Approximately 2 years from now. It depends on which option we go with, because if we have to get a full range wetland permit, then that adds many months to the schedule.
If I heard you correctly, you talked about a northbound lane on the northbound side for this alternative?
For the interim improvement?
Yes.
We currently show another lane coming southbound. We would also factor in a potential northbound lane for it.
Thank you.
We haven't fleshed all that out yet.
I thought I heard you say just one lane on one side, but I think we need to take a look at an extra lane on both sides, obviously, because they're both impacted significantly during different times of the day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I understand.
Quick question. When council voted against an alternative, was that number 7?
Yes.
It was number 7. Okay. Not 7A, 7B, it was alternative 7.
That's right.
Okay. If we were to refer to this one, like we've got that stakeholders meeting coming up and all that, this possible incremental thing, how would we refer to that?
As an interim improvement.
It doesn't get its own designation then?
No, it would not be evaluated as part of the environmental process
right.
for the major project.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of details to consider with that, but it just seems like, you know, the construction equivalent, getting a tarp up to stay dry while you
right.
finish designing the roof. I mean,
yeah.
Staff, do y'all have any particular input on that? I mean, I know it's not a town project, but.
I think the connection issue is a good path for the town to see if this can be pulled into the 41 project. It's been considered in the past, and so that's a good step forward, and I take more coordination with the county. Sorry, didn't turn that on. And the interim improvements, southbound is probably very likely could be done within the existing right-of-way. Northbound, you're pushing it because it's only 70 feet wide. But that's where we have most of the problem, is that southbound, mm-hmm. and particularly in the morning. So we would see a good bit of relief, even if it's an interim improvement, a good bit of relief. The schedule is the most concerning thing for everybody. And the county's moving forward, I think, as quickly as they can in the permitting and evaluation. I mean, really, they just need to perform some final evaluation of the operations and then make a decision on, and they have to look at the cost also and consider that.
There's no implication with funding, right? I mean, it was a referendum, it passed, it's county money, it's half-cent sales tax, but to do that as an improvement doesn't put it outside the box, I guess.
Yeah. I haven't briefed that on up the chain yet because okay. we were waiting to get all the details. I mean, we've spoken about it. It's a cost-dependent thing. If it's several million dollars, then that does make it harder. If it's half that, then maybe not so hard. But I have not taken it up the chain yet.
Okay.
We're still gathering details. I forgot to also, as part of this, we would do some lane reconfiguration and some traffic timing mm-hmm. changes at the intersection as well.
So what's down the road so far as meetings, planning, decision points?
Okay, well, if you go to the next slide, here, this is our schedule. I know it's busy and it's a lot to see, but we're in November of 2018, and excuse me. So we are kicking off phase two, where our design team will get into the heavy duty details of laying out the roads and identifying exact impacts, and continuing more sophisticated traffic analysis of what we lay out. We are going to continue to develop those alternatives so we can put them in a report that will go to the Army Corps of Engineers in our environmental assessment, which is going to happen in 2020 is when we expect to have that completely finalized. As far as public meetings, we are planning on in the summer, hopefully early summer of 2019, we will have kind of targeted some, we'll know what alternatives we're planning to bring forward to the Army Corps. We'll know a lot more information on the impacts, so we'll present all those out to the public again in the summer of 2019. And then we'll take more comments, wrap that into our environmental assessment, and pass it on at the end of the year to the Army Corps of Engineers. Once they've looked it over, they will hold some sort of additional public meetings before they move to a final decision on the preferred alternative.
Yep.
I just had a couple of
You said that the Army Corps will make a decision on the final alternative?
Yes. Yeah, we make a recommendation to them. They evaluate it, and they will either accept that or tell us we have to go back for some more study.
But I guess the point I'm getting at is Army Corps engineers isn't building this.
Well, the federal highways would normally be would take on that role. They are going to be doing not as the lead agency, but a cooperating agency. So they will still be in consultation and reviewing the documents.
But will they be in constant consultation with the town in doing that? Because, you know, the town of Mount Pleasant is the organization that is, you know, looking its residents in the eyes every day and understands the burden that they're living under with Highway 41. And the Army Corps of Engineers has got to understand that their decision has to be tempered with the judgment of this town. You know, they don't have, I don't believe they have, well, they may have the right, but I don't believe it's appropriate for them to come in and say, this is the way it's going to be. So they're going to come back to the town, or they're not coming back to the town? Well,
it's truly up to them, but I would imagine during the public input they would have meetings.
Because, you know, and I have to go back to the part where I was critical. I always thought the town should build this road. The town should have found the money. The town shouldn't have done it with half-cent sales tax. I'm just saying that was my philosophy, and I think that 2025 is wholly unacceptable. I just got to tell you, that this town, Highway 41, the residents along Highway 41, that road is being crushed under the weight of its traffic, and we've even had to look at ways to slow growth, in great part because of that road. I mean, it's just, all I can say is it's wholly unacceptable. And to tell people now that we've got to look at, I think it was 2023 at one time. Now it's 2025.
It was 2026 at one time. We've improved a year since then.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
We are improving a great deal on the national average of the NEPA process on this project. We're looking at 3 or 4 years max, whereas the average is 7, sometimes 10 years.
You know, I hope they treat this with a sense of urgency. Yeah. I really do, because, like I say, this has become, in my mind, a real burden on the people who live up in Dunes West, Park West, Rivertown. And then we have a bridge over the Wando that's already been completed, and people coming from Clements Ferry Road.
Okay, well, Mr. I'll get off my soapbox.
Sure.
Yeah. No, stay on the soapbox, please. Just on the connection to Billy Swell's Boulevard, the fact that we're even looking at 7 still just is mind-boggling because of the concept of the shortest distance between two points being a straight line. So if you're going to look at that connection, earlier today there was a agenda item about a new development right smack where that would go. So is there any consideration of that issue as in terms of there's going to be some land acquisition required? Wouldn't it be easier to get the land while it's empty land than wait till there's homes on it?
Are you talking about the Coaxum track?
Yeah, that was on there. Yeah. That was on the agenda earlier today.
Yeah, we've
Can we go back to a map? Can we go back to a map?
Okay. Yes.
All right. It's below the map though. It's right, down where it connects to Billy Swells.
But yeah, we have the connection. We're looking at several alternatives of the connection, and we've taken into account that we would want to avoid that.
So it's not going to be a straight line. It's going to be
Yeah, that's right. It wouldn't be perfectly straight.
This way it takes longer to build, I guess. Yeah. The other question is, at the hearings you held in Park West or public meetings that you held, there was a large study area. Is there anything else picked up in that study area that we should know about that might be on the table for alternatives here? There is a power line that runs from the Bessemer Circle down, and that would be perfect as an interim measure to flow traffic during the construction. There's a right-of-way already there. It could go from Bessemer Circle right to Ace Hardware on 17 there, and connect to Porcher's Bluff and Billy Swells.
Yeah, as we get further in the design, we'll look at how you can route the traffic. On some projects, you actually will construct a temporary road, so that would be a possibility and something that we could look at.
And the other one is Faison Road and connecting that to Gray Marsh, the back of Park West somehow, by the airport. People were drawing the map like crazy. There was some people in the area, in the back area of Park West, that were pushing that idea. Again, during this 5, 8, 7-year construction situation, every car you take off Bessemer is one less car you have to go through the construction with.
Well, when you go through the NEPA process, you have to define project limits, and those have been defined. And
so
they don't include another road outside.
They don't include the Faison Road that was on your maps at Park West.
The
Faison Road is by the airport. In other words, it provides an outlet out the back of Park West.
Yeah, that's our study limits. That's where we go out and do survey and we collect environmental data. That doesn't mean that the road is likely to go out on the edge of that, of what we had drawn on there. And we've tried to
Are we looking for a solution, or are we just looking to build this one road? That's really the question. We're looking to just build 41 and we're not looking at traffic solutions. I guess that falls back on us.
No, that's why we're looking at connecting to Billy Swales. That's part of the overall network. So we are looking at that. We are looking down at the stoplights on 17, both north and south of 41, just to see if a timing adjustment there is going to help our project. So we do look at those things.
Thank you.
Is that it?
All right. And do we have time for motions at the end of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, you have the floor.
Thank you, sir. First off, Cal, thank you for being here today. Certainly didn't invite you here to take the brunt of the town's frustration, since that clearly should fall on our state representatives for failing to do anything on this road until it became a crisis. And then we start counting 7 years from then. So clearly this is not your making. You're here to get this project moving forward. So thank you for that. I also want to thank you for increasing the participation, public participation in the stakeholders group. That means a lot to the folks who have to deal with this problem every day. So that being said, I understand the frustration. I live it every day. And seeing numbers like 2022, 2025 is disheartening. However, I think given that, our focus really ought to be then on, and our emphasis really should be on these interim solutions. Because if we wait to 2022 or 23 to start moving dirt, we're gonna have a real problem. So I think our focus, our priority really should be looking at what can we do in the interim to move traffic from Joe Rouse down through 17, down through Hamlin intersection. It's part of the project anyway, but we've gotta do something there before 2022. So whatever we can do as a town to facilitate that, I don't want to speak for all council, but I think for me, I would be willing to do whatever needs to be done to get this thing moving so that we can have some relief sooner rather than later. I understand the process. We've got to look at all these alternatives. It's just frustrating. And I certainly would not want budget or bureaucracy or anything like that to become a barrier to doing what has to be done here. I've worked in government for 28 years. I've heard the word impossible a lot, but I also know in government nothing's impossible. It's political will. So if there is a solution that can help us in the near future. And if this council and county council and anyone else who's got any influence can make those things happen, I think we need to move forward and help those. On your end, Cal, I would just hope that from the transportation perspective in the county, that we are looking at every possible alternative to shorten the cycle. And I know last time we had talked, we were looking at the first quarter of 2019 for this thing to go forward. Now we're talking about summertime. That's kind of heading in the wrong direction. So yes. Whatever we can do to reverse get things into the hands of decision makers more quickly, even if that means that those decisions are phased and we don't have to wait for the whole project to be done, but perhaps part of the project at a time. I think we need to be more creative, perhaps, in our approach here. Because it literally, we had council members today who couldn't get to council meetings on time because of a 45-minute ride trying to get down 41. It's a problem. But thank you for being here, and thank you for updating us on this. A lot of eyes are watching this, so.
Don't leave it. We may have a motion. Before we get to that, just a question that I have is that I believe under the state law, under the local consent aspect of that, when we voted down option 7, that takes it off the table, alternative 7. Is that correct? Under state law, when the municipality says you can't do this in our municipality, that means that 7 is no longer under consideration. Is that correct?
That's what I understood, sir. I mean, I would appreciate hearing Mr. Oyer's response as to how the county feels about that.
Okay. Well, I guess part of my question, and Kevin, I'm bringing this up before your motion, just to get clear, if we took that off the table and we voted on against 7 because we didn't want 5 lanes of traffic going into our largest neighborhood, and then we see alternative 7A, which is 5 lanes of traffic going into our largest neighborhood, I don't understand where the local consent has any authority if we've already said what we don't want is 5 lanes of traffic channeled into our neighborhood. Don't just jiggle the road a little bit and move it down a little. It's still alternative 7, basically. So I don't know if Mr. Pagliarini or Brad or you has an idea of, you know, just where do we have the authority under that consent clause to say what we will and won't allow in our municipality.
I hate to
put you on the spot.
Yeah, well,
I know that's not your role.
Well, and I shouldn't speak for our attorneys either. Right. And that would be a question that if y'all would like to discuss that with our attorneys.
Could we
prepare notes on that?
Could we get that between transportation and legal and just find out exactly where? And I wanted to get that out before a motion because that might affect what in the world we can do about any of this.
Well, hey, they're going to say it's in the county.
Right.
So they're the local authority for a decent portion of it, and probably all the wetlands are in the county too, I would guess.
Well, I would add to that as well that I think the issue around 7 was making modifications to a town-owned road, which Bessemer Road is, as Dunes West, the outside part of Dunes West is as well, I believe. Now, if the county wanted to build another road, a county road, then I guess they would have more authority over that. But I don't know. I think that's a question that should be answered is, do we have the right to determine whether our town-owned roads can be modified or not? If that's the case, then that might take 7A off as well if it's 5 lanes heading out towards Dunes West. But I don't know the answers to those, but I think those are valid questions because if that is not an option, then we need to put that aside and move forward with something else.
Okay. Mr. Kinney.
Yeah, my motions are going to be 3 different things, not related to 7A at this juncture, but I'm against that. One would be that we support the widening of 41 South from Joe Rouse to 17 in an immediate fashion, that we put any town resource that we can towards it and work with the county and do it if we need to without the county to get that moving, because that's the least controversial of the whole project.
All right.
That's the first motion.
Okay. I'll second. Any discussion?
I just think there's no controversy with that portion, so we might as well just back it up, get it moving, throw our town's force of the town's government behind it. Because there hasn't been one person that complained that shouldn't get widened.
And this is Support the widening of 17 from Joe Rouse Road. 41 from Joe Rouse Road to 17. Nothing on the other side, nothing.
Immediately. In other words, he said it could be done in 2 years. If we can put town funds at it and make it done in 18 months, let's do it. Because there's no controversy there. Nobody's ever come in and opposed that.
All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Yes, sir. All right. Any discussion? Any comments? All in favor of the motion to support the widening of 41 from Joe Rouse to 17, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. All right. It passes unanimously. Next, Mr. Kinney.
The second one is to support traffic improvements on Bessemer Road, not a full widening, but to stretch those queuing lanes further back than they go currently. Right now, they go to, like, the entrance of the gas station. If we could bring them back another, I don't know, 500 feet, 1,000 feet, more cars to fit two lanes there. Bessemer's still going to be there. It's always going to be an artery. We might as well just make it safer by having a better queuing situation there so it doesn't back up into the neighborhoods and block the entrances. So my motion would be to support the traffic improvements on Bessemer and widening of the queue lane.
I'll second that for discussion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Go ahead and discuss it.
Okay, on both these motions.
What?
By the gas station.
Oh, no, that's Bessemer at the 41 end, by the gas station.
On both of these, we have to go through what? Figuring out exactly what it is that needs to be done and how to do it, and then how much it's going to cost. Would this relieve the county of any responsibility, or do they, since this is part of some of their program, would we ask for them to give us funds to do this?
I think it would relieve the county of responsibility.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If we're moving into that space, then we're going to own it, and that's your call.
But what I'm saying is, does that give us leave to ask the county for funds?
We can make any request. This is a $120 million project. I mean, this is I just, if you're looking for efficiency and time and speed, I don't know if that's the right way to do it, because we have a design firm. We have an entity who's controlling the project. They're following through in the process. What it feels like to me, and you may disagree, I could be wrong, but everyone's frustrated with time, but it's not the county that we're frustrated with. They're following the rules that are in place, and we would have to follow those same rules. And so, and it is obscene, but it's not the county's fault. It's not our fault. So I don't know about us entering the space is going to allow for these improvements to be done more quickly. Now, let's say these improvements are done. Let's say the shorter lanes are put in. Once those are put in, they'd have to be studied to see what impacts are then on those queue lanes on Bessemer. Because at that point in time, you would know whether the queue lanes need to be widened or shortened or whether there's even a need to move it. If there's enough lanage there, you might not need to adjust them at all. Very familiar with the area. The further you go back on Bessemer, it starts to get real tight, real thin. So there may not be the opportunity there. But
Kevin, let me just ask. Your motions, are these to look for the feasibility of doing them?
Yeah, in other words, to have staff come back and tell us, can we do this?
Not set the bulldozers in motion.
No,
yeah, okay.
But he mentions that the county's looking to do that. We can show our support of doing those interim improvements because, like I said, no one has ever opposed them. So take the controversy out of it, because it seems to be controversy. It always pops up wherever it's near somebody's home. I've never seen anybody from Colonnade complaining about widening the bottom of 41. So we need to do it.
How about, if I may, Mayor, through you, how about as an alternative, right now Mr. Morrison sits, as part of, he has a liaison capacity on this project. How about if in that capacity he suggests to the county, what would it take? Would they be willing to allow the town to take this on, and would they fund it? In other words, would it be advantageous to them and improve speed on the project if we peeled off a portion so that they could focus on the
rest. Right, yes, similar to how we deal with Patriots Point, right? It's easier for them to do it through the town than through the state. So if there's anything that we can do to speed it up, that it's like a direction that staff to seek speed on that southern portion, which is non-controversial.
We'd offer our support if it helped advance the project.
Obviously, if he came back and said it's going to take 12 years for the town to do it, then the answer is no, we're not going to do it.
And perhaps making a recommendation to the county that as part of this project, that they prioritize certain improvements. And again, letting them decide, can it be done quicker within the context of the project, or can it be done quicker from the town? But I think also just making the recommendation that there are certain areas. I don't know what your third motion is, Kevin, but if it's a third area, I think just saying these are the three things that we think if they could be done more quickly, we'd like to have them prioritized in terms of budget, in terms of design, in terms of engineering, whatever it is. Because I think that's appropriate. I'm merely not okay with a motion that gets into the technicalities of extending these lanes or that, because I don't really know the impact of that. But certainly asking them to prioritize certain things like an extra southbound lane.
Then you're asking for an amendment to the motion?
I think it could be amended to reflect what we are truly asking for, which is to take these areas that you're talking about and prioritizing them to be done more quickly, whether that's done through...
Well, the problem with Bessemer is that we don't know if it's going to be part of the final product, and we don't want to endorse anything that makes people think that we're in favor of this circuitous route that's longer than the distance between two points and more expensive. So the Bessemer portion really is just a town issue, because that's still going to be a town road at the end of the day.
Perhaps we could just request that transportation look at that and see about if there's a more efficient way to remark that, to give more stacking in there, or make a recommendation to us if you know how to improve the stacking there.
Yeah, I think if I hear, we're talking about getting a feasibility, coming back to us with feasibility. What would it be, and B, who's going to pay for it, and how much? Is that the intention?
That's fine. That's right.
All right. So that's what we would be voting on. Yes, sir.
May I, sir?
Yes.
Because I have to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying so I don't mess it up on our end here.
Got
it. My interpretation of what you're saying is that we are to approach the county with a request that if we can be, if our involvement helps peel away additional responsibilities from them where we focus on those additional lanes, that we would offer that and suggest that funding come with it.
Yeah, I think that was the first motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the second one, which we haven't voted on yet, would just be, and maybe we just need the request that transportation look at that area.
Like a direction to staff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, that I think Kevin that's right. was looking at and come back with, that's in the too hard box, or we can do it.
Yeah, the Bessemer cues.
Do you need a vote for that, or can you just take the direction?
Yeah, we can just take that one. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I'll withdraw. Okay.
Yeah. Withdraw.
And the third one is, I would like, again, I don't know if it's a motion or just a direction to staff, I would like to study the feasibility of extending Faison Road to the back of Park West, Gray Marsh area. I don't know exactly what the route is. I don't have the map in front of me. But the idea being that if you can relieve the number of vehicles that hit Bessemer and 41, it benefits everyone that uses the road. It benefits the people in the back because they don't have to wait at two congested traffic circles at Gray Marsh and Bessemer. And it relieves everyone from the other side of by having less vehicles. So it's the extension of Faison Road, and I don't know which route works. I don't know if there's wetlands there, so that's why we just need maybe have staff look at that and determine if that would be possible. Because I know it's been spoken about. We've had citizens ask for it before, so sooner rather than later, get a look at it, because if we're going to face 7 years waiting for 41 to be built, taking cars off that mess is probably a good idea.
Does that require a vote, or can we can just ask staff to come back and say, here's what would be involved?
We have that somewhere.
Okay.
I have another motion.
Thank you. All right.
And again, just a motion to make sure that before next committee meeting that we have the town attorney and the county attorney sit down and get some resolution or some advice on the possibility or not possibility of town roads being modified as part of this project against the town's vote. that's not worded really well, but you know what I mean. Get those questions answered before next month.
If it's a motion, may I ask that that also includes this local consent or municipal consent aspect to find out if we vote no, we will not accept that alternative. Does it kill that alternative all the way up the line?
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay. It's that motion. Did I hear a second?
Already? I'll second that.
Second, okay. Any discussion on that? Are you raising your
hand? With the third thing, to explore the question of who you have to negotiate with when there are 2,500 owners of the property you want to take.
Understand.
You don't deal with DWPOA. You deal with the 2,500 owners whose property you may want to take.
Right.
Clarification of who you're going to negotiate with, because to your point, Mr. Bremer, there's going to be a long, long series of lawsuits if you go the other parts.
If you notice, I'm not.
Which we voted against, you understand. Yeah, we voted it.
What's going on, and I like what Kevin is doing here. That question should be in the back of your mind.
Got it.
Yes, sir. Just a quick answer, Mr. Watkins. You know, I'm kind of ignoring the 7A alternative in the hopes that it's never going to happen. And the more credence we give to it, the more likely it might happen. So I'm hoping that the obvious straight line between two points is done and that, you know, common sense rules the day, because it's certainly going to cost more to go through those wiggles that they're showing. But by the same token, I see gentlemen here from the Phillips community. We have to make sure that the Phillips community doesn't get bulldozed over either. They've been lied to in the past about sewer work. Mr. Habersham, you told me that before. You know, over the years and years and years, we have to make sure that when it does go through, that their interests are protected. And one of the ways to protect it is by taking cars off. And that's why those other three things will take cars away from their route.
All right. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor of the motion to approve, which would be to direct the town attorney to discuss with the county's legal counsel the use of town roads with or without the town's permission, and also the application of the local consent aspects of the law when we vote on the proposed alternatives. All in favor of the motion to approve that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Anything else on this one? Thank you, Cal. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
When is that stakeholder meeting again? I know it's on the calendar, but
14th.
Thank you. Got it. All right. Next on our agenda is discussion regarding parking permits. Yes, sir.
I was the one that asked for this to be on the agenda. With parking becoming so burdensome in the old part of Mount Pleasant, one of the solutions, I guess we can take this from the residential parking permits in Charleston. I think it's time we need to look at something like that. We're seeing businesses trying to lay claim to, spots in front of people's houses, public parking, and then down by Sham Creek, there's so many people who are avoiding, well, there are just a lot of cars going down there, and we're finding them up Church Street, down Hibbing, just all over the place. And in a lot of the old part of the town, they don't have garages. Some don't even have driveways. They just have parking in front of houses. And I think people understand, like, for the bridge run, you're going to have that, but for the normal course of events and the weekends, is this a good solution? And if so, would that be hard for us to implement? I think it would, at least give some clarity to who's supposed to be parking and where. And that's, I'm kind of directing that at Eric, but it's for our discussion.
If I'd like to add, we have a clearly defined historic district. And we have a commission for that district. And we've had applicants for the Old Village Historic Commission who were not eligible because they live one block out of the district. So we're not creating a district here. We already have it. And then I have seen the golf carts to the Shem Creek restaurants running as far back almost as the restaurants on Pitt Street, or maybe that far. to take people back to their cars, valet parking, and all that kind of stuff. So it's obvious that the success of Shem Creek is spilling over into parking issues in the Old Village. So I guess, would it be possible to have a residential parking permit system like they have in the historic district of Charleston? Or am I oversimplifying it, or are we oversimplifying it?
No, sir. I mean, what we could do is look at really the, we'll use this word again, the feasibility of establishing such an area. Perhaps you would consider, and we can bring the maps out and look at it, but maybe not the entire area, the Old Village area, is experiencing that problem, but, right. but perhaps the area is closest to Shem Creek. And having a residential area with a sticker that you have to have, or could result in a fine. And so we could look at the feasibility of that, whether we can do it. Likely we can, not sure. Some of that is DOT right-of-way, so we have to make sure we could, the local jurisdiction could find something that happens on another jurisdiction's property. But we can explore all that and give you some good information.
You think we could get some help from the city of Charleston and how...
Sure.
How they administer there. I mean, I bet those roads are DOT roads as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
I know there's issues of marking, putting signs up, residential permit area. There's enforcement. We don't have the chief here. There's a lot to consider, but this is what we would have to look at in total, I guess. Yes, Council. Mr. Kinney.
I understand that the frustrations of people living there. There's kind of two big things that stick out, though. One is, one of the things I like about Mount Pleasant is we don't really have parking tickets. You know, I mean, I lived in a place that we got a parking ticket every 2 days. I mean, one of the things people love about here is we don't have that invasion into our lives. We kind of just park the car on the side of the road and everything's good. So that's an issue. It could probably be worked through. The other thing is, what happens when ION comes and says, well, we have narrow streets and we have parking problems. We want a permit system. And then the next neighborhood wants one, the next neighborhood. I don't know where it ends. And I know that in order for it to work, you have to have those parking ticket people. And I just don't like the idea. So, but hopefully there's a way to do it. I guess staff is, you guys are brilliant. I know you come back with something.
And there's just one little add-on. Perhaps someone y'all could talk to planning, who's working with the short-term rentals, and maybe people who do the short-term rentals need to get passes, and they'll need to liaise or meet with the owner of the property to get their passes so that the neighborhood, since they're putting these in neighborhoods, people will know that they belong there. That's not just a big party or something.
Okay. Do we need a motion on this?
No, sir. I think we can have some good information to digest, you know, next month.
Okay, so let's make an action item out of that. Are we going to hear back next month? Is that reasonable?
If it turns out it's become a lot more, I'll let you know.
Okay.
And if we can't meet that deadline, I'll let you know.
That sounds okay. Good. Any other comments, Council? All right. Let's move on to item number 5, various traffic management items. I know included in here, one of those would be the special events at Boone Hall. And we talked, last week, wasn't it? It was Long Point Road there at Wando Park Boulevard. How many others did we have? There are several. I will say that I got personal messages, and I saw social media posts of how much better Boone Hall situation was last weekend than it was the one prior. I think you probably can vouch for that, Mr. DeMora, too. I know your phone rings off the hook as well.
Sure.
But I, whatever order or whatever items y'all had to go, we'll just turn it over to that one.
Yeah. You're looking at me like. we wanted an update on, I believe I saw the slide for Park West. Stockdale.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were at. You were
that's
looking
right.
at me
talked about.
For Boone yeah. Hall. And I see we hopefully moved on beyond that one.
Yeah, I think, sir, you said review some of the various
okay.
items
yes,
that we
okay.
have. Yeah,
I,
okay.
I apologize.
Just on the Boone Hall.
Like
was, is Boone Hall part of this project update thing, or is that a separate agenda item?
No, it's part of all of this. We just want to do them all.
I can speak to Boone Hall real quickly. The short of it is One of the reasons why it went smoother than prior weekends was we applied more resources. And those resources were at our own expense. And so moving forward, we're going to be meeting again with property owner, the county, and trying to recoup. If it's going to take that level, then it probably shouldn't be the citizens of Mount Pleasant's burden. So that's a takeaway going forward. Well, action item.
I spoke with him several times. He was very receptive, and I know he spoke with the county as well. And I think the county has changed their requirements, so that may come into play as well. So, yes, sir.
But by the same token, you say we applied our resources. Are we talking about taking a patrol car that would normally be somewhere else and just moving them up there, or were we paying overtime for that?
Overtime.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I made that suggestion to cover those intersections, and I really think that makes a difference. Talking to Willie McCray, though, he also mentioned that that weekend is traditionally a little lighter than the beginning of October. So perhaps we could get with him either the traffic people from the police department, the transportation, or both, and just figure out what his most intense weekends are. And if we have, you know, hopefully we get someone else to pay for it, of course, but leaving it be is unacceptable. And I think that's really the takeaway.
Yeah.
So they did open that right lane that everyone was complaining about that over the final weekend. So
we had
all those improvements added together made a difference. So we need to make sure for the mud run, the Strawberry Festival and the Fright Nights, that those are kept in place. So how do we do that? We need a direction from staff, or it's just a nod of the head here?
It's I think we have our marching orders. We have a good feel, I think, for what you'd like for us to do. We know what we'd like to see as far as extra support from Boone Hall, and that's what we're going to be meeting with them on for future events too. So
I just have one question around this. So Boone Hall is in the county. They get permits from the county for their events. Why are there no county sheriff's officers?
There are. They're on site.
Why are they not out managing traffic on the roads? Have we asked them, or have they refused, or have we not asked them?
We've made our positions very clear, and we need more support. And if we can't get the support, we at least need the funds so that we can provide the support.
So in the Eric DeMora way, is that the way of saying that we have approached the county, asked them to do this work, and they have chosen not to do so?
We believe there is a level of service that needs to be provided for that, for all these events to go smoothly. And we don't believe that until that last weekend, which I guess might have been last weekend, or the weekend before, we don't believe that things were acting at that level. And so there's two ways to get there. One, we get additional resources from somewhere else, or we get some resources directed straight to us, so our taxpayers don't have to bear the full burden.
Well, I'm glad I speak to more, because I understand what you're saying. but I would prefer that we not just get a check from Charleston County saying thank you for providing service, because that is taking resources off from. I would, if this is an event that is a county event and a county property, in my view, there should be county personnel providing those services alongside Mount Pleasant. That's my personal opinion.
We have an ally too on County Council. County Councilman Summey lives in Brickyard, and he was having some great difficulties that weekend. That was really bad, which we know, the four car accident and all that. It was a worst case scenario. It wasn't. I will go on the record. It wasn't just gross lack of planning or mismanagement. There were a series of unfortunate events. And but I think from the county standpoint, I think we've got a receptive ear. So let's make sure we're sending a unified message as well. I take it that since there's not a crowd from Park West here, that situation is better. Was it last month or 2 months ago?
Last month.
Last month. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, how time flies. So anyway, continue.
I think on that issue, we're good. We've ordered the signs. We took Mr. Bustos' advice and went out and looked at an alternative location for the one coming off of the Park West Boulevard. So we have the locations ready. Should get the signs in the next 2 weeks. We're installing one speed cushion on Salterbeck, and we're trying to find some hardware so we can use some of our older cushions. and install those, so we're working on that. And in the meantime, the HOA's been given a petition to go through the standard traffic calming process like we talked about. So everything's moving forward in a good, positive fashion there.
Thank you.
And then I think, Mayor, the other one was just Coleman and the traffic shift, and maybe you want to cover that in your updates or however you want.
Yeah, I can cover that.
Okay.
Okay, so on Coleman Boulevard, we've completed all of the stage one westbound improvements. Hopefully you've been through there. You've seen the palm trees go up and the decorative lighting and landscaping. Pretty much everything on that side is complete, except for maybe one or two panels of sidewalk and a few plantings that need to go in. And we are in stage two now, which we did on October 17th. And the contractor is working daytime hours now in front of the Moultrie Middle School area. So he's really concentrating on the section between Simmons Street and Fairmont Street. That's in phase one of the project, while he is doing night work down in phase two in front of Green Town Center. So, you know, it kind of gives you a good indication of what the project's going to look like when it's done, at least on that left side. And we're happy that it looks that way, and it seems to be working pretty well. I know pavement's a little rough in some areas. We're going to try to get that smoothed out and get all the steel plates out as soon as we can, but we think it's operating fairly well.
Does that mean there's no nighttime work for a while?
There is nighttime work in phase two. Phase two is the section from Fairmont to Farrago,
right.
And the median is already there, so we can't do the lane shifts. We have to do night work, lane closures.
Okay.
And then we've got daytime work in front of Moultrie Middle School. Waterworks has a few items they need to complete at night. And then I believe the section between Mill Street and Simmons Street, the drainage may have to be done at night because we're just so close to the edge of the road there. We got buildings that the DOT chopped off in 1958 that are right on the edge of the curb that we have to go by. So it's tough to do that work during the day. So we may have to do some of that at night.
Got it. Any other updates or questions?
I've got one other update.
Okay.
Let me see where I'm at here. We had a public meeting for the Patriots Point Gateway project on August 25th. We didn't get a lot of people to show up. Maybe 11 showed up, but we did get a lot of comments via email, and that pertained to the support for the bike lanes and the enhanced bike markings. So I just wanted to let you all know we had that meeting.
Yes, sir.
Paul, as you were clicking, there was something from Long Point Road. Is that just an old slide?
Okay, on Long Point Road, as you all directed back in June, we are continuing with the design of the road between Billy's Wales and Rifle Range, and we are studying alternate alignments between U.S. 17 and Billy's Wales, and we'll have a report for you in December.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That completes agenda item number six. Any other questions or comments? If not, that moves us to item seven, which is adjourn. If there's nothing more for this committee, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you, sir.